All right, so welcome back. We were talking about the different kriyas in the person, the power of thought, the power of speech, the power of action. And the power of speech is the one that has all the halakim together. You say what you think, you use your body in order to say it. So kriyas hadibur is called, it's a kriyas that's kail everything, and that's why averus with the kriyas hadibur are so calmer, they're so severe, because they have the entire participation of the person. The four nations that are represented by the creatures in Daniel's vision, they represent, each one of them represents one of the kayakas, the kayak hanafesh, the kayak shebuguf, the neshama, the different halakim. So you have three creatures that represent each one of the kayakas. And then there's a fourth creature that's connected to Kechadibur, because that fourth creature is made up of all the Kechas of a person together. So this is the Edain. And with the description of this creature, is it's a creature, it's made up of all kinds of different animals. It doesn't look like any one particular animal. You know, the animal that parallels Yavan is a leopard. But the animal that parallels Rome is—it's like no animal that anyone has ever seen. Just a terrifying creature that comes up. It's a ferocious beast, and it's not limited to one animal. So that's the Kayak Hadibur. So that's what we did until now. So now the Maral brings another medrash, and this is a medrash in Vayikra. Who daite de Rabbi Yechanan? This is Rabbi Yechanan's mind. The Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Al Kain, he came, Aye Miyar, he smote them, the lion from the forest. So who is the lion from the forest? Zubavel. Babylonia is the lion from the forest. Babylonia is the Melech, he's the king over all the other nations. And that we discussed. Babel. A wolf that plunders is Madai, which is a little bit different than the other Midrashim that we discussed. Paras and Madai in other Midrashim is a bear, or at least Paras is. Paras is a bear. But in this Midrash, Madai is a wolf. A wolf plunders. So a wolf doesn't rule. A wolf plunders. Namah Shekad al Aram, there's a leopard that's constantly poised over their cities. Zuyavan. So Greece, Yavan is a leopard. And we discussed that the Tava, the nature of a leopard, is brazen faced. You know, you go up to a leopard and you shoot it, you shout it in the face, it doesn't turn away, it just keeps going. It's brazen faced. We call Yetzim Yimenu, and all that emanates from it, Yitarif, will tear asunder zu Edom. So Edom is not referred to as any specific animal. It comes out of the forest. And it rips things apart. So all the other nations have animals. They all have their animals. Edom's not an animal. So, Lama ki rabba pishayim atzamishiv vasehim. Chaza havoyis va'ar achoy kinama. So then the Medrash quotes Daniel's vision. The Medrash continues, I saw a number, I saw leopards, a Yavan. Why is Yavan a leopard? She said, Mamedes, Bigzirasau, Vamarasa, Yisrael, Kiswa, Karen, Shajan, Lacham, Chaluk. Oh, this is Lail Maba. It's a little bit different. The previous Medrash is that Yavan made the Jews inscribe on the horns of their animals, of their cows, that they have no Chaluk in the God of Israel. And like he explained, the horn of the cow represents the chet eagle. This medrash says that they made them inscribe Yonavachelik Le'elam Haba. That the Greeks made the Jews inscribe on the horns of their cows the Yonavachelik Le'elam Haba.
What was the first opinion, that they didn't have a chelik in?
Elokei Yisrael, God of Israel. Basadana chaza habay b'chazay im leilav arachay revia d'chela v'misne v'tikifa yisera. So he's the fourth animal was fearsome, ferocious, fear-inspiring. It must be, but to keep you safe, extra powerful, and that's Adar. Ad kan the medrash. So Daniel Rosh Leishim Belayla Echad Lazu Belayla Lama. Daniel had two visions. One vision, he saw three creatures coming out. He saw a lion, he saw a wolf, and he saw a leopard, or a panther. And the next night, he saw a fearsome creature, which was Adam. And he saw them in two separate nights. Rebbechen Rebshim Belakish, Rebbechen Amshishkula Kenegesh Lashtim. Rebbechen says, why did he see Adam on a separate night? Because Adam was equal to the other three. All the power and the strength and the ferociousness of the other three equal Adam. So since Adam is equal to all those three combined, so then he saw them in two different nights. If Shimon ben Lakish is Yisera, then not only Adam is equal to the other three, but it's even greater than the other three. Masa v'yechna Rish Lakish. V'yechna is Akasha and Rish Lakish says that Adam is even greater than the other three. And he quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. Ben Adam anavi. V'hach kaf o kaf. Hashem is speaking to the Navi, tell him to clap one palm against the other palm. What is Hashem trying to convey? What is he trying to say? Clap. Hach kaf o kaf. Dama avad le Yerushim ben Lakish, v'tichbal, ha'elach mufurish advam sh'amayna ke'amach tzadat shkula k'neg kolash le'ashem ha'achiyas. That clapping two hands together, Hashem is showing the Navi that on the one hand you have three nations and on the other hand you have one nation and you clap them together equally. So to write to Rebbechen and Shita that Adam was equal to the other three.
Greater meaning worse.
And Rish Lakish, who holds that Adam is even greater or worse, so then it's Akasha Rish Lakish. So that's why he saw them on different nights. And so he explains, and Maral explains, Rish Lakish Rishita. He says, when you have three nations, then they're going to be separate because there's three separate nations. And as much as three separate nations can help each other, but there's still three separate nations. And since they're three separate nations, so then they're limited because there's three individuals that are all strong. But you have one nation that has the combination of all three kaikas together. So in those kaikas within the one nation work together in harmony. So Edom, that has these three kaikas combined, Machshava, Dibur, Maisa, Guf, Kayakshabaguf, Neshama, Ruach, has those three kaikas combined, so then it's able to harness all the kaikas within it towards one thing. It's going to be much more powerful when you have three nations that are acting independently of each other. That's what you said. So you have three specialists.
You know, Yochanan holds that the three combined, even though they're separate, they're at least equivalent to...
It's Machlokes in perspective. You know, it is a Machlokes in perspective between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is looking at the powers of the Kaikas. The powers of the Kaikas are the same. And Rish Lakish is looking at the effect of all the three Kaikas combined in one entity.
So each one of them has their own thing then, and combine them.
Yes, if you have one nation that they have the power of a lion, and another nation has the power of a wolf, and the third nation has the power of a leopard, so the three nations can never truly combine as one. They could try, but there's going to be divisions. They're never going to truly combine as one, so they're going to be limited in their strength. So if you have one nation that has all three kaikas, the lion, the wolf, and the leopard, he's going to be stronger than the other three, because he has a true combination. If you have your stuff together, got all your stuff together, you could beat anything. I mean, that's the Yesod. Shkoyach. It says, "Lakach l'ficha gamer yishlakish kamach shikalelas ila shleisha." The malchus that combines all three kaiches, yesh minel shleisha, it's going to be stronger or more than three separate nations, kashem chulakim, that the separate chulakim beyachem neyatzma. Bichshav beyachem yishlakish. So now he's breaking apart the medrash. Beyachem is a kasher yishlakish. V'ksib ben adam hach kaf o kaf. Take one palm and smite the other palm. V'dav shumaka kaf al kaf. When you smite one palm with the other palm, achid shupela. You smite one palm against the other palm when there's something surprising, there's something unexpected. That when he saw in his Nevuah that there's going to be a Malchus Dalad, that's the Malchus of Rome. That he saw there's going to be a strong Malchus in the world. Malchus will be equal connected Baal Gimel Malchus. It's going to be equal to the other three combined. One palm is the three Malchus combined. And the other palm, if Neatzma, by itself is Malchus Revius. She's Kula Kanega Gimel Malchus. It's not more powerful according to Beikanan. It's like equal. One palm hits the other palm, and one doesn't overpower the other.
So that's a contradiction according to what Rish Lakish said.
Yes, so Rish Lakish brings a pasuk, and this is a war between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish and Machlokes. And Rish Lakish brings a hemshech of the pasuk. The hemshech of the pasuk is Vatichbal. Vatichbal means, and it's doubled. When he brings a pasuk, it's doubled. Tzir klam shiyamak shnei pa'amim kaf akav. That it's like double. Shatiya Malchus, what?
What's double?
The power of the nation that combines all four kaikas is going to be double the power of
that
the three nations combined.
That contradicts again what he said before.
No, it's talking about the Malchus Revius. This is Shatiya Malchus Revius, Gula Kanega Shleisha, V'Oid Yesem and
Shleisha. Right, so that means that Edom would be stronger than the three.
So
Edom would be stronger than the three.
Yes, double. So let's look up the pasuk.
Yecheskel chaf aleph. Is that just like literal, like double is literal, or?
So Hilu there just means it's stronger. Basically, right. Yish Lakish and Rav Yochanan have an argument as to which would be stronger, the three or the one. Rav Yochanan says that the three combined would be at least equivalent to Edom.
Right.
And Yish Lakish said that Edom is going to be stronger.
Because we have three.
So we have a pasuk though that says that the kaf al kaf, so right. The three would be equal to one. And Rish Lakish says that the pasuk, when it's the next word is that it says double, so that which should represent that Edom, which I guess would somehow the doubles referencing Edom would be twice as strong as the other one.
What of an Edom? Hashem is speaking to Yechezkel. Hinaveh, let the spirit of prophecy rest upon you. V'ach kaf al kaf, and he's telling Yechezkel to strike one palm against the other palm. V'sicha fel, and it'll be double. V'shtein pasuk. A But the Mefarshim don't explain the Pasuk the way the Medrash does. Sicha fell. It'll be double. One moment.
I'll sing something like
that. You may be willing to take your hands.
No, I'll sing something, take an example from you. You said, let us go and publish this. The three chlokim together create dibur. If you have, you can have the three chlokim, but if they're separate.
Is it a literal togetherness?
That's they're part of the whole complication with their mitzvah, is that we keep on kind of going between that.
It says that Edom is the culmination of all three together.
I'm kind of imagining like houses like being out.
Yeah, no, that's basically what we're trying to say, but...
Milashon Kefal. Yitzchafel is Milashon Kefal.
On a physical level,
right, so this is the Medrash. Okay, so the Medrash is that to sum things up, is that Daniel had a dream. He had two dreams. He had one dream that he saw three creatures coming out, and they each resembled animals. He had another dream the next night, one creature coming out that didn't resemble any animal in specific. It was something
it was
he
terrifying.
Very terrifying. Terrifying and strong and powerful. And the question is, why was it broken up into two dreams of three and one? And the answer is because Hashem is showing him something. He's really having the same dream twice, because he's seeing the same power twice in a row. He's seeing the power in the form of three nations, and he's seeing the same power in the form of one nation, because one nation has the same power as the other three. According to Reish Lakish, that one nation has even more power than the other three, because when you combine powers together and they act together in concert, it's going to be stronger. And Rabbi Yechonon has a right to his shita, because it's compared to smacking one palm against the other, which would indicate that they're equal. And Reish Lakish is a diak from the pasuk, says v'tzichafel, and Reish Lakish understands v'tzichafel is that the power of one of the palms is going to be double that of the other palm. Okay, that is that pella yaser? It's a big pella. Lakach amr v'tzichafel, lakach. Here's the point. So because of that, so we're speaking about the this is the Galus we're in right now. This is Galus Edom, Galus Raimi. All the other Galus had the characters to them. There was a certain character to the Galus. In Babel, there was a culture. They opposed Klal Yisrael, but they opposed Klal Yisrael, they were consistent. In Paras Amada, in Yavan, and we know what they are. Like in Yavin, they were very willing to leave the Jews the way they were, providing that the Jews don't have something,
a wisdom
that they don't have. And as long as the Jews don't lay claim to a special relationship with God that they don't have, or a Torah that they don't have, the Jews were able to be part of the Greek society. They weren't persecuted and they weren't interested. Paras Amada was different, of course. Paras Amada, they weren't interested in anything. They just wanted the Jews to be dead. And Babel's opposition was purely the opposition of Babel. They actually treated the Jews quite well. They just, Tyre flourished in Babel. And physically the Jews flourished in Babel. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
They just couldn't have that special connection?
They couldn't have the ability of being mitzak in their nefesh. Beis HaMikdash is a place that you could, as far as we go, we could always come back.
So why did Babel have an issue with that specifically?
Because they're the nefesh of the Hashem made Adam Arisha, and Hashem made Adam Arisha to be, and everyone should be like Bavel. You're going to try and make yourself superior to Bavel by having, there's a morale. Gemara, the story about Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa. Well, there was a wealthy man that made a seuda, and he wanted to invite Kamsa, and Kamsa was his friend. And the shliach, the emissary, invited Bar Kamsa, who was his enemy. So Bar Kamsa shows up to the Suda, and he gets thrown out. Bar Kamsa was insulted. He went to the Caesar, the Roman Caesar, who was in power at the time. And he lied. He told the Jews are being unfaithful, they're rebelling against you. And the Caesar said, prove it. He said, okay, send the car over to the base of Midrash, they're not going to offer it. And the king said, okay. So on the way, Bar Kamtza took like a little needle and he made a small hole in the lip, according to one shot in the Gemara. And that makes it a mum. It can't be brought in the base of Midrash. But to the Gentiles also brought sacrifices. They don't consider a hole in the lip to be a mum.
They also had the concept of mum, though.
It's missing a whole aver. By example, missing a whole aver for them. It's missing a leg. They wouldn't bring it, but there's a whole lip they would bring. And he brought it, and they checked over the animal. They saw there was a mum in it. They couldn't bring it, and the king got very angry at them. And it started a war. It started a campaign against the Jews. And the morale's kasha is, why is it that they just didn't show the king that there was a hole in the lip? What's the problem? They could have avoided this. Just show the king that there's a hole in the lip. They said, give us an animal without a hole in the lip, we'll be mocked. It has nothing to do with you. We'll prove it. Give us one without a hole in the lip, and we'll be mocked. This we can't. Somebody messed it up. I don't know. The moral says, in order to do that, they have to explain to the king that the Jewish standards of Karbonis is different than the Gentile standards of Karbonis. Because the king would say, so what, there's a hole in the lip? We bring those all the time. That's not a problem. It's not possible. By us, it's kosher. By us, it's only invalid if there's a limb missing, but there's a hole in the lip, it's not a problem.
What's wrong with that?
So you explain to the king that our standards of Avodah are higher than their standards of Avodah, and you're saying that our Avodah HaNefesh is greater than theirs Avodah HaNefesh. That's a smack in the face. They couldn't do that.
That's such a big deal that would get him more angry than...
Yeah, because you're just...
Why?
What you're doing is you're invalidating... The entire Avodah, it's a very big smack in the face. You're saying that your entire Avodah is below us. It's below us, what?
What's
the
Kanan
It was a Kanan Nefashos, but they decided to do nothing. You see, when you don't have, when you have a deal, when you have Klai Yisrael B'Sakana, and every single pathway that you choose could bring to worse Sakana, so they paskin to do nothing. That's what the Maral says. You can't turn down a carbon from the king of the land because of something which to them is perfect, and your standards are great. Your standards of perfection are greater than the king's standards of perfection. You think he's going to take that?
And if he would have brought a carbon into the moon, would that be
Then you know the sugya. That was one of the... They had a deal. They should bring it anyway. They should kill the messenger. Kill Bar Kamtza. The king will never find out.
Which one's better?
Which one's better? They didn't do anything.
No, right. I make a mistake accidentally. You know, you're trying to, you accidentally cut the animal limb.
Oops.
I feel like there's so many different ways that could have been avoided.
Yeah, but Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want them to avoid it.
Right.
The korban was imminent. And this, you have to look behind the scenes.
What was the reason for the korban in
the korban by Gurban by Shani. But Kamsa's Gurban by Shani, it's in the Sphinah. Gurban by Shani.
Sina Skinaman pretty much only Sinaskinaman.
That was like the straw that broke the camel's back. It was Nechtam. That's in the Sphinah. So we're in the, so all the Goliaths, and they're very clear character to them. But the one we're in now, it's so varied. It takes so many different forms. It's also the longest of the Goliaths. By far. L'kach ha-malchus ha-zayshim mevakashish tehi ha-kal. Edom has a nature to it. That it should be everything. Everything should be Edom. Everything should be Rome. And Edom doesn't share. You could have, during the Babylonian Empire, you could have other nations. The Babylonian dynasty was stronger. Other nations may have been... You had other nations. There were alliances. But the fourth one wants. That means that's what its nature is. To be everything. and nothing else should exist but the fourth galus. The other ones, Babel, Parsamadai, and Yavan, they each had their midah. Malchus Babel wanted to be the most chashuv. And that's why in the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, he saw Babel as a golden head. So golden head, it doesn't mean that Babel is all that's in existence. There's a whole body under the head. Babel acknowledges others, as long as it's the golden head, and the others are the body. There's a neck, there's a shoulder, there's a torso, there's legs, there's a waist. So Babel acknowledges others. Babel wants to be the golden head. Actually, Babel needs others in order to be a golden head. You have to be a golden head over others. So you actually need others. Because a golden head without a body is
dead.
It's pathetic.
Just dead.
Yes.
It's golden instead.
It just Shuroish Bachashivas. Babel wants prestige. Shia Mavakish Agba Asala Kol. They want to be above. Kamesha Rasa Daniel Chayushanidamalari. So in Nebuchadnezzar's vision he saw Babel as a golden head. In Daniel's vision he saw Babel as a lion, Kiari Hu Akasha Bakhayas, the king of the beasts. Kumashamidamar. Melech Shabakhayas Ari. The lion's not the only animal in the forest. It's just the most prestigious one. Layim Avakas Raka Kashivas Ayesha God. Lakak Rosh Yeshla God from Dinesha. The lion in Daniel's vision had the wings of eagles. It was a lion with wings of eagles. Shanesha Aifa Shamayim Parech Lamala. Because the Nesha is the bird that flies the highest. So that's Chashivas. Chashivas is high. So the king, right, so a lion with eagle's wings is the epitome of Chashivas. It's the most chashiv of all the beasts and it flies the highest. It's above. Malchus HaShniyah says, Chedvoy Yisroi de Kesev. That's silver. The arms are silver. It's silver arms. That's Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It's not the head. It's below the head. And it's not gold. It's silver. Because the Malchus of Parasamadai sought wealth, not chashivas. Now, wealth and chashivas, they intersect with each other. We're talking about be'ikr, you know. It would rather be wealthy than power, than prestigious. You have all kinds of, you have people that they have hidden wealth. No one even knows of it. They could have a lot more covet. They don't want it. Their type is they want, you know, these underground vaults with these masters, and no one even knows they had them because they bought them in the stolen market. You can't even, you know, these Matisse's and Rembrandts that were stolen. They're there somewhere. Somebody has them. They're there. You know, they're probably in Chile. They have an underground salt mine with perfect climate control that the rich man goes down there just to look
just
at
to
it.
Just to look at it by himself.
So that's not taiva for covet. Where does that taiva come from? That's the taiva for possessions. And that's parasamadai. And that's why it was made out of silver and not out of gold. Because gold represents Malchus, majesty, and silver represents wealth. That's Pasha Gemara. Because the economy is based on silver currency, not gold. You can't... And someone just called me today, went out with a girl, I took her out for drinks, and he had 100 shekel bill, and they didn't have change for 100 shekel bill, so he couldn't pay the bill. So the girl had to pay for the drinks. So why didn't they have change for 100 shekel bill? Because 100 shekel bill, the economy runs on small change. I mean, I actually think the story is a bit pathetic.
Yeah.
Because 100 shekel bill is 25 bucks. It's a big deal. But you can probably understand that you go to a toll plaza, you want to pay with a $100 bill, they might not have the change for you. Or they might not bother. The economy does not run on $100 bills. They used to have $1,000 bills. I don't think they have them anymore. You can't use it in a store. You give them fives and tens. So silver represents the economy. Even though gold is more precious, it's more of a precious metal. But silver, the economy runs on silver. Yavon was silver because Yavon is wealth. Gold is more kosher, but silver has more utility to it. You want to show that you're kosher, you have gold. You want to go out to the store and buy yourself a loaf of bread, you bring silver with you. So possessions. Well, Ayub Kessel, these were Kessel, they were never satisfied. Hamakas a Gimel, the third Malchus, which is Yavon, is the Chayshus. The Chayshus is copper, right? Chayshus copper. So Yaz, Vazaris, they're brazen and they're swift. Leiluk Malikrish Haratzis and Miraka, they're conquerors.
How does copper represent?
Yavon is Alexander the Great.
So how does that represent copper? Why does copper represent swiftness? Not anymore, perhaps, but...
Not anymore, but at the time, it was more useful than silver. Brazen because it's tough?
It's brazen faced. And the
and
copper...
And gold, maybe,
yeah.
Copper is brazen faced. It's the color of copper.
Red.
It's reddish. Right? It's brazen faced. And to fight a war, you gotta fight a war. You just go. You don't turn around. They lead, you know, they lead, you follow, and you just go. And then don't stop. You just keep going. And you know, the other side, they have their blood-curdling war cries, and you just keep going. You know, the one that's going to win is the one that just doesn't get in the spell. It's not you're not frightened off, you're not impressed. You just keep going. Bracing them. The Japanese guys, the samurais, you know, they don't even look. This is, you know, the kamikazes, you know, that's Asus. They dove their bombers right into
ships.
It's Asus. Certain Asus. There's no care for casualties or for consequences. It's Asus, and that's what the Yavanim did. They're abrasive. They're like Nechash. It's a powerful metal. It's a very strong metal. Mm-hmm. It's much stronger than silver. It's much stronger than gold. I mean, actually, gold is very soft.
So is silver.
So it's malleable. It's called malleable, but iron, copper.
Iron
is basil. Nechash is copper.
Silver's not strong. It's a harder metal than gold, but copper is
harder. Copper. The Kohesh and Nemesh, Aspanim. And that's what a leopard does. Ravi Kaikru al Ashkasa. So what does the fourth nation want? The first nation wants covet, the second nation wants cash, the third nation wants conquest. What does the fourth one want? Ashkasa. It wants to destroy.
Yeah,
destruction.
I think.
And that's why it's Barzal. Barzal is iron. Because that's what the iron does. Iron is used for warfare.
What it built.
That's why when they built the base of Migdash, they commanded not to build it with tools of Barzal, because Barzal is...
They were allowed to use other metals?
They actually use the Shamir.
Right.
Yeah. It's the stuff that swords are made of. And it cuts and destroys. So it goes to the parallels. You know, Mafishni is part of some other. It's connected to Kayacha Gufni. They oppose Klai Shos Guf. They wanted to kill Klai Shos Guf. So the connected, they parallel the Kayacha Guf. Shubada and Makas Yavan is connected to Kayacha Sikhli. That's the Kayacha Sikhli. They weren't against the Guf of Klai Shos, they were against the Sikhli of Klai Shos. But Tavaki Makashni is part of some other. They wanted to take away Klai Yisrael's Elam Hazah. The Klaisha should not, you know, Klaisha, Parsama, this is Klaisha, you want to exist, fine, exist in heaven, not down here. Go to heaven, we'll give you a one-way ticket to heaven. And go frolic with the angels. Not here.
What was Bavel's?
Bavel's, that's the Kashivas, the Malchus.
No, they had superiority over Israel.
So they wanted to, the Parsa mother, they wanted to take away Kali Yisrael's Adam Hazar. La'arav la'abris ha'migufam v'lita mehem Adam Hazar gufni. And then they would inherit Kali Yisrael's Adam Hazar. If you remove Klal Yisrael from Malam Hazar, what happens to all their possessions? So they inherit, right? The criminal inherits the properties of the victim. So that's Parsa Madai. That's Parsa Madai, that their culture is Kesef. And Kesef is Tavis HaMamon. And Tavis HaMamon means that they want, their definition of Mammon is everything that's in Malam Hazar. That's the bank that they're robbing.
Is that why, for example, by the firm story, they paid in silver is supposed to a smaller number of...
Abra Meir Shekel Kesef?
Yeah, as opposed to...
Not Abra Meir Shekel Kesef. That's a very good observation.
Wouldn't have made sense to just pay with a lot less gold.
The currency was Kesef because that's what they were. They were Kesef people. So what did Parasamadi want? They wanted the whole world. Now, as long as Klal Yisrael's here... Who gets Elam Hazar? Klal Yisrael gets Elam Hazar. You get rid of Klal Yisrael, they inherit the whole world from Klal Yisrael. So it was the ultimate heist. There's two ways to steal something from someone.
You could take
the possessions away from the victim, or you could take the victim away from the possessions. So they chose to remove the victim from Elam Hazar. Then Klal Yisrael won't own anything more in Elam Hazar, and that's what motivated them. And to do that, they have to kill them. And if Klal Yisrael gets the reward in Elam Haba, that does not bother them. That doesn't disturb them. They don't care about that. They just want cash. Malchus Shlishis, which is Yavan, Lo Yehaisim Avakashas Raklita Mehem HaTayra Asichlis. Klal Yisrael shouldn't have Tayra. Their bodies could stay here. They just want, they don't want them to have the Tayra. Lekak Rois to Daniel, why? Obviously, because if they have the Torah, you can't rule over them. You can't conquer someone that has Torah. They recognize this. Conquest is only possible if you conquer the person from within. And as long as someone has the Torah, he's always going to be a free man. That's my idea. You know, Yechon Mizrachi, when he was captured by the king... Aspasianus. So you have to know what time it is. You have to know when the David Shachas, when the Marv, when the Shabbos. So he learned Mishnah, and he had a certain system that he knew how long it took him to learn a Mishnah. He just counted the Mishnah, so he was able to mark time, even though he was in a dark cell. He's learning Mishnah, I don't know what it was, whether it was 60 Mishnah an hour, or whatever it was. He counted hours. That's not a conquest, he's a free man. He's free. He's got his Mishnah, he's a free man. Yavan, it was quite willing to let Klal Yisrael have possessions in this world. They were. They just don't want, they want to conquer them. And not because they want to be more chashuv than them, that's Bavel. It's because they love conquest. Nothing to do with honor. It's just the thrill of conquest. That you take someone down. No one has to know about it. Just separate that, you know. No one has to know about it. You don't have to brag about it. You know, after this, we're in the middle of it. We're in the midst of a ceasefire now. A ceasefire from the Gaza exercise. I don't know if you want to call it a war exercise. But the first thing that happened after the ceasefire started is the proclamations of who won.
Who won, yeah.
In Gaza, they're all cheering, hey, we won, we humbled the Israelis. The Israelis say, no, we delivered such a crippling blow. They're still fighting about it. He says, she says. There's a certain, you know, we won. We won. And there's no Malchus over here. And there's no Hashivas. There's no, it's not, it's just, I won, you lost. And there's a Torah for it. So it took the Torah. Look, I said, you know, Some of that's brazen-faced. He wants to win the staring contest. He's brazen-faced. We're going to stand off against each other, and you're going down. And you're not going to have something I don't have. And if you do, I'm going to take it away from you. They don't want them having their own religion. You're not going to be. There's nothing special about you. They're going to strip the special, uniqueness of the Bnei Yisrael from the Kodesh. Minega as your mayors connected acher, and the Eishet Dovid say you gadol bechashev. Kodesh Yemi deserves the Malchus Harishon. It's not because they want to become a ruler. They become shivers. They're not doing it because they want to rule over them and be a sovereign. It's man on man, me against you. And I oppose you. You are not going to have anything that I don't have. So it's not about sovereignty. It's about we're going to face each other and I'm going to take away anything from you that I don't have because you're not going to be better than me. And it's Azus. It's one against one. But you'll have some to Ellis, and you're not gaining anything from it. If you rule over someone, and you're a Malik, you gain something from it. They're not trying to gain anything. There's no to Ellis. There's no gain to it. Just, I'm going to take away the Torah from you. You speak reasonably to the Yevanim. What are you going to gain if you take the Torah away from the Jews? Are you going to gain anything? You're just taking something away from them. You're not gaining anything. The Yevanim says, I don't care. If we can't have it, we can't have the Torah, then they're not going to have it. A brazen-faced person doesn't get any benefit from his brazenness. You know what I gain from being brazen? That I'm being brazen. That's it. That's all you come out with.
Something.
Yeah. I gain that you don't have it anymore. I gain.
It's not my gain.
Right. I gain that you lost. It's not a positive thing. I won. You lost.
I won because you lost.
I won. My winning is defined by you losing.
Right.
I don't gain anything. I don't plunder you. I don't rule over you.
Nothing's effectively changed for yourself.
I stood off against you and you went down. Now, I remember when I was teaching in a different yeshiva, we'd come to yeshiva at 7 o'clock for a night seder, and especially in the summer, there'd be wrestling contests until the Rebbeim came. We'd come, we'd see a contest all over the place. We'd come and break it up. And there was one guy that he called himself the house. He was like the house because he never went down. He's like a house. Listen, don't expect me to explain the mentality of these guys. But they call him the house. He was like a building, he never went down. He's the house, everyone was taking down the house. I remember one time, one guy took him down. And they called that day the house fell down. And that must have been a particular cause of pleasure to the one that took down the house. The day the house fell. It's Yavin. Malchus Harishon, you asked about the Malchus Harishon. Ra'al Eisen Nebuchadnezzar, Rosh Harishon Avin. Nebuchadnezzar's vision, it's a golden head. Hashem HaKashivas. It's not about making the other person lose. It's not about taking everything the other one has. It's about me being the most important one on the scene. Covered. She was. Anta Risha Dehava. So you're the golden head. Parsa Mada is Kesef. Because they wanted to plunder everything. Yavan is brazenness. And Edom is all four. This is Mamish. Agolus.
Agolus.
Agolus is the combination of all four. Klai Yisrael is going through everything. And so you see it. We're going through everything. We're going through that we have no sovereignty. That's very clear. Who really rules the state of Israel? No one really knows. The one thing that we do know, that's not the state of Israel. They have no sovereignty. And they there's land right near Gush Etzion, which was not airborne land. They have a legal system in Israel. And they announced the tender for that land. They want to make it into state land so they could build on it. And anyone that objects has 45 days to prove that they have a legal right to the land. There's no one that has legal right to the land. It was ownerless land. It was. There's no documents. There's no bills of sale. And anyone that wants to object, like Arabs, they don't have a claim to it. So it doesn't belong to them. And it's like close to an existing settlement. And they want to expand. The United States has lodged a formal protest against it. Great Britain has lodged a formal protest against it. And they protested and they appealed to the Israeli government, and they urged the Israeli government to retract.
On what grounds? Because
it's not productive to the peace process. Yeah. There is no peace process. There's no peace process. All the gestures that the Israelis have made, they've made some concrete gestures. We're no further along than when we started. The Arabs are not willing to compromise an iota. Negotiation means you give and I give. By the Arabs is, this is what you want. If you don't give it, we're going to cry. And then we're gonna shoot things at you. We're going to try and kidnap you. And then you don't want it again. Okay. They don't get it, you know.
They understand it really well.
Right, yeah, they get it. But in the end, there's a very good chance. There is a very good chance that there's going to be some bureaucratic impediment, and they're not going to end up building there because the Israeli government doesn't rule the state of Israel. They're ruled by other forces. There's no Malchus. There's another Malchus. They launch thousands of missiles at us, and then money comes in from the world to rehabilitate Gaza. What about the money for all the buildings that we destroyed in Israel? No one's talking about it. We're under siege. The only democracy in the region, and I think it was the Lutherans. They divested their investments from Caterpillar Tractor Company, from Microsoft, and it was a third company, because they do business with Israel. There's an economic boycott coming from the Netherlands, coming from Vretnach, you know, like all over the world, places you've never even heard of, not to invest in Israel. That they're trying to hold the money, you know, they're trying to hold off the flow of money into Israel. Israel shouldn't have things in the physical world. And conquest, I think conquest is pretty obvious. The three, Malchus, Peshivas, taking away Alam Hazar, and Muhammad, just for the sake of Muhammad. They're not going to win. They're fighting for the sake of fighting. And we're getting all three at once. But like Reish Lakish, when you have all three at once, it's a lot more powerful than when they're separate nations, separate being attacked in three separate different ways. We're getting all three at once. So we've seen with our eyes the fulfillment of this Medrash of the Kiyum. That's what we're going through. And the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Tayu is Bavel. Bayu is Parasamadai. Cheshek is Yavan. And Apnei Time is Edom. And the Pasuk afterwards is Vinei Ruach Alakim Apnei Amayim. Rachefes Apnei Amayim. Rashi brings down Ze Ruchai Shamelech HaMashiach. So when you see the fulfillment of all the Galiyos all together in one, so then you know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. Yeah.